It's Thursday, June 13th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuous run tech podcast. This is show number 866, and boy, oh boy, we are getting a way, way late start here tonight, not because of equipment, but because of just life. I got a great show for you, but I tell you what, this month, GoDaddy customers, and those of you that are new or considering becoming a GoDaddy customer, those of you that are looking to get an account, you can get 35% off your very first order at GoDaddy using promo code 35OFF1. Those of you that want to pick up a .com for $2.49, Geek249 is the code. And we want you to consider picking up a GoDaddy product or service. And I want to thank you for being here. Hey, everyone, I got a great show lined up for you. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go-fly.
Microphone.
We're go-fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go-fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey, everyone, hey, I tell you, on the last show... You know, things got kind of crazy here because it was like, I was like 30 to 40 minutes into the show and all of a sudden the video control board started just going crazy, doing all kinds of weirdo things, switching back and forth where it wasn't supposed to be. And then of course, so immediately I go into troubleshooting mode and I run the machine for like 12 hours straight. On Tuesday, 12 hours straight on Wednesday, thinking everything's fine today, got everything up. And just as I'm starting to roll the show tonight, I noticed a little flicker on top of the TriCaster switch. And I'm just like, oh my God, what is going on? I don't want to touch this thing. It's possessed. But hopefully the video stays good. We'll keep our fingers crossed. I'm going to be watching it. If you're new to the show, if it isn't one thing, it's another here. Things can get pretty crazy, and today is no exception. Beautiful weather here in Honolulu. Trades are up. Matter of fact, I had to kind of close one of the studio windows a little bit because it was just pushing a little too hard. But hey, thanks for being here. And of course, I wanted to welcome all of the Ohana, all the longtime listeners of the show, of course, viewers as well. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Of course, we want to make sure that you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Let's press the right button there. Get over there and check out the website. Check out everything that's going on at GNC. This is where you're going to really get connected with our writers and the shows here. Gadget Professor, Robot Underpants, the new media show, our special media events, which we're going to have some coming up here in a couple of weeks with going out to Ford on the week of the 24th of June. So lots of things happening here. I'm really excited about, and I'm glad you're here with us. Make sure you get subscribed to the show. You can do that real easy by really just visiting the website. You'll see the links there to get subscribed. And of course, we want you to get signed up for the newsletter as well. You can always email me here. It's real simple to do so. You can contact me either via Twitter at Geek News or email me geeknews@gmail.com or call our hotline at 619-342-7365. That's available for you to leave a comment. Email is obviously generally the best and probably the most preferred way people reach out to the show. So feel free to do that. And if you're catching the show, whatever glass you're on, if you're on your iPad, you're on your Nexus 7, your Samsung Galaxy, whatever you're on, hey, the show's available in really in every format. There's a mobile format, HD format, one for the web. And really, there's all kinds of ways to watch, including Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, just for the Tech Podcast channel over there. I tell you, of course, we're part of the Tech Podcast Network over at techpodcast.com, so definitely check that out. And we're up streaming on live stream tonight again, so cross our fingers here. Everything's going well. But got a lot of content tonight, and Just want to share with you a couple of things. Been pretty, I'm kind of caught up, but it's just been like a kid thing, a mom thing, or, you know, a wife thing, a dad thing, and just, it's just been all nonstop. And then my son had, soccer practice this evening, and, traffic was horrendous coming out of Honolulu, coming out to where we live. And, so we just got stuck in traffic and, just made it that much later. Plus I've got, we've been negotiating with a bunch of vendors, and tomorrow construction starts here. We're going to be replacing our solar hot water system. And, you know, when we bought this house, it came with the home. It's been installed 12, maybe 13 total years. And the system is what they call burned out. It needs to be changed. The hot water heater is about ready to drop its bottom out. Matter of fact, there's been some times where I've had to kind of force the circuit breaker to hold to keep when I've actually not had enough heat from the solar to warm the thing up. So anyway, it's on its way out of here. And what we're going to do is we're going from an 80-gallon system to, we're going to put in two 80-gallon hot water heaters. We're going to have the solar panels up on top that will basically heat that. And I hope from tomorrow night or for Saturday forward, I will never, ever have to turn the switch on to supplement with electricity to my hot water heater. So I'm looking forward to seeing if that's going to work out. And we wrote a check for $6,400 to have that whole brand new system put in yesterday, or actually day before yesterday. Actually, my wife wrote the check. And we get a good portion of that back in solar rebates. And for here in Hawaii, they've got good incentives. I think all total, next year when I get my tax return, I think I get close to $4,000 in credit. So really can't complain. $2,500 to replace the entire system will be my ultimate out-of-pocket cost. And then, of course, I go from 80 gallons to 160 gallons and hopefully bring the electricity bill down. The goal is, because we've had to supplement with electricity, is hope to bring the power bill down, I'm hoping, between $50 and $80. Because, you know, when you have to surge it like that, you know, you wake up in the morning, you're going to get your shower and it's cold, and you have to turn the switch on to bring the heat up quickly, you know, that just makes that old meter just spin like crazy. So we're going to cross our fingers here that is going to help bring the electricity bill down here in a big way. So we'll find out here in another month. I've got my my fingers crossed that one of our big energy users, even though we've had this solar system, is going to straighten out. I've been working with my daughter, who's to be a senior this year, career decisions. She's expressed interest in the military, expressed interest in college. So we've got a couple of recruiters coming in next week. He's going to talk to her. I got the officer candidate recruiter coming in to talk to her. So it's just all kind of crazy here. So next week will be a full week with just basically getting information so she can make a educated decision which way she's going to go when she graduates. But yeah, believe it or not, I'm slightly caught up, which is good. And look forward to bringing on the new media show Saturday morning. Rob told me who we had as a guest. I didn't write it down and I haven't got an email from him. But we'll have a great... who was it he said? It was a good one. I apologize. I'll try to have something in the show notes or put a blog post out or something to tweet. So if you want to watch us Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, we'll have the new media show on live. Anyway, thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here. Really, I'm going to tell you, this is a very important month, folks, for you guys to make a decision to pick up some GoDaddy products. That'll really help the show out here, help me out in a big way, and keeping the lights on as always. And we've got that 35% off your very first order at GoDaddy by using promo code 35OFF1, or again, you can get those .coms at $2.49. Now, don't forget, you can find all of my codes over at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. It's real simple. You just go to the website, you know, you scroll down, you find the GoDaddy promo code link, you click on that. That brings you into the actual website, and you'll find all my codes there, everything that you can save money on. One of the folks said they had a little challenge with one of the codes. I'm finding out what's going on with that. But otherwise, great way to save money on using all my codes. So definitely feel free to check them out. There's a code there for every occasion. But, you know, really, that 35% off, that 3-5 off one, and that's, again, designed for folks that are going to be a brand new customer over at GoDaddy. This is a 35% off your total order. And promo code 3-5 off one. Share that with your friends, people that you know. And we appreciate you doing that. Dale, welcome to the chat room. Hi, how are you doing tonight? And but anyway, thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. All right, I've got a stack of stuff for you. And I've got a bunch of, I had some pointed emails. The emails are going to take some time to get through at the end of the show. And I want you guys to hang out. I want you to do, you know, basically come out and hang out to the end because we've got some good feedback. As expected, a few people were a little bit irritated with me on the stance I've kind of took on the whole the classified leak and with the NSA revelations and everything that's going on. And, you know, this thing is still making headlines in the press. And I'm going to focus on a couple different things tonight. But I definitely want to talk about that a little bit more here. But I'm going to start off a little bit lighter. I was not able to get down to Ala Moana Center here in Honolulu today. They got a big shopping center there. And Microsoft opened a store almost directly across from the Apple store. And I'll try to get down there this weekend, get some pictures and put up on the website. But Microsoft is basically seizing floor space in Best Buy as well for what they're calling Windows Mega Mini Stores. It'll be right inside of Best Buy. So this will be kind of interesting here. You know, you already find a lot of Microsoft stuff in those stores, but they're going to have a complete separate section. And it looks to me like, you know, Microsoft has made a big commitment here money-wise. So did you guys have a GoDaddy, a Microsoft store open in your city? If you did, love to hear your comments and what the experience was like. I know a lot of people were going to it, had to have tickets to get in, which is kind of an interesting move. But definitely get over and take a peek this weekend and get you some insights into that. On a little more lighter note, there's a company now that they're going to be using a Cold War satellite dish to target deep space. It's called it's from a company called Lone Signal. It's a crowdsourcing project to send signals to hypothetical aliens who live around a star that's 17 light years away. So the people of Gliese 526 are waiting for news of Earth. They may not exist, and they may or may not want to invade our planet once they learn about us, but a project to crowdsource and send messages to them to try to make contact anyway. So so they are trying to raise money, and they're going to want to send a 144-character tweet. So you can tweet to the aliens out there what's going on, and you can have a little fun doing so. But it is an interesting development and a little bit of a fun project. But the Lone Signal Group, which has 30 years lease on this facility, plans to direct two beams at Gliese 526, a continuous way with fundamental physics laws and basic information about Earth, and another, again, consisting of crowdsourced greetings. And if you want to send, it's only a buck for four texts, and it's going to help fund the project. It's kind of a fun thing here, but boy, oh boy, we'll see where this goes. But they're going to be sending a message 17 light years away. So about 34 years from now, be prepared. I'm just kidding. But anyway, long story short, interesting project. I have the link up in the show notes. When I saw initially Google Glass, I was always wondering what's inside. What is electronics makeup? And I think from my perspective, you know, I was kind of had an inclination what it may be. And sure enough, they've got a Google Glass teardown. And while it's cringeworthy is the best word I described it to initially see Google Glass really tore to bits. Really not that complicated. I'm sure it's probably a lot more complicated when you get down into the engineering specs, but you know, it's definitely got a battery. It's got a 570 milliamp lithium polymer battery. The display, which is just a few millimeters across, packs a resolution, as we know, of 640 by 360. But they've got a video of the teardown and everything. So when you just look at the whole breakdown of this, it's pretty good. Now, I'm going to show you guys the display. They have the display actually on a quarter. So that gives you an indication what the display looks like. So a tiny little display, the battery, and then the whole guts of everything. And they dug into the processor and everything. So $1,500 or whatever it cost down the drain, tearing this thing apart. I hope they got a lot of web traffic for doing this. But definitely the Extreme Tech folks got a good write-up there. And you can take a look at what the insides of Google Glass look like. Okay, so let's switch back here into just a little more serious topic and talk about some of the things in the news that have followed on in discussions. And, you know, a lot of people, and I think maybe I even said it in the last show, is if you got nothing to hide, you really don't have anything to worry about it. But an article on TechDirt is entitled, "If You've Got Nothing to Hide, Quote Unquote, You Actually Got Plenty to Hide." And they go into some hypotheticals. They say, for instance, did you know it's a federal crime to be in possession of a lobster under a certain size? It doesn't matter if you bought it at a grocery store, if someone else gave it to you, if it's dead or alive, if you find it after it died of natural causes, or even if you killed it while acting in self-defense, you can go to jail because of a lobster. They go on to say, if the federal government had access to every email you've ever written and every phone call you've ever made, it's almost certain that they could find something you've done which violates a provision of in the 27,000 pages of federal statutes or 10,000 administrative regulations. You probably do have something to hide. You just don't know it yet. So while this is a interesting discussion point, it, you know, I think goes to some truths that not everyone can be clean all the time. And you're probably just a few keystrokes away from doing something stupid and causing yourself to come under the scrutiny of the government, especially if it was a perfect system, quote unquote, and every crime that was committed was prosecuted. I think we'd all be in jail. But long story short, interesting write up over on TechDirt. Now, what's been interesting is we haven't heard anything from AT&T and others about the surveillance stuff. Been very, very quiet. So AT&T and Verizon have remained silent on that part. Now, Verizon did not remain silent on the whole phone scandal, but it is an interesting move here. And but they've never, they haven't really made too much comment on the additional part of the stuff that was announced late last week. But Congress is finally curious about what the NSA is doing. And in some closed-door hearings, a representative, Loretta Sanchez, basically said lawmakers learned significantly more about the programs at the NSA during a briefing on Tuesday. She says, what we learned in there is significantly more than what is out in the media today. And I, well, of course, they're, you know, they're, I'm sure there's a lot more detail that was that could be revealed and probably will never be revealed. But interesting how this is kind of shaping up in the story that is following on the big revolution revelation over in Kotke, KOTTKE.org, and I probably just pronounced that wrong. There's a book out called Three Felonies a Day, where Boston civil rights lawyer Harvey Silvergate says that everyone in the U.S. commits felonies every day, and if the government takes a dislike to you for any reason, they'll dig in and find a felony that you're guilty of. And he talks about a few cases where that has happened. And so it's an interesting kind of byproduct of everything where you don't have nothing to hide, you have nothing to worry about. It goes in deeper where there's this great article that talks about how much data is really worth from a commercial standpoint. So are you engaged? Do you have heartburn? Do you own a boat? What's your data really worth? And we're going to look at a hypothetical here, a profile of a particularly valuable person, according to the Financial Times analyst. This is a lady's basic demographic, and a lady, this is, I don't know why they picked a lady out, but they did. But a basic woman's demographic information is not that important, about 7 cents, since it's easy to find out. But if this woman is a millionaire entrepreneur, it's worth 12.6 cents versus 0.7 cents. Now, if she owns a boat, that's worth an additional 7.6. And a plane, if she owns a plane, that's worth an additional 8.5 cents. If she's a fitness nut, 3 cents. And if you're trying to lose some weight by going to exercise classes, that's worth an additional 10.5 cents. Now, they paid 12.6 cents to find out if she was a millionaire, but 10.5 cents if it's actually worth it, you know, if she was trying to do some exercise stuff. Now, if this lady's marriage recently ended, that's worth an additional 10 cents. But don't feel too bad for her. She got engaged within the past month, and that was worth an additional 12 cents. And this is a bit scandalous considering she's in a second trimester of her first pregnancy, which is 9.7 cents. She owns a house, which is worth 10.5 cents, but is going to sell it and move soon. So that's worth an additional 8.5 cents. It goes on and on and on. So what they've really done here with a complete profile that lists where she's traveled, what she likes to do for driving. She's going to get a new phone. That's worth $1.25. So this is pretty incredible. If you're shopping around for financial information, 47 cents. But a typical profile of what we do, of what a typical woman does, is worth about $1.56. Yeah, $1.56 is what they pay to know everything about you. Whether you smoke, whether you're on birth control, whether you are financially well set, if you're driving a car, if you rent, if you own, it's worth $1.56 to marketers. So, and the folks that are really interested, they want to know if you have any medical issues. That's worth a lot more. There's big bounties to pay if they find out you have a medical issue. So not only does Uncle Sam collect data on us, so does commercial side. What's worse? Is it equally as bad? You know, is it just too late? Do they know too much information about us? Probably. And they probably know more about, like I said, I guarantee you Google knows more about you than probably your wife does or your, girlfriend or whatever. So you guys agree with me on that? What do you think? You know, it boils down to a lot of variables there. You know, what gets your juices flowing? What are you into in topics? Are you into cars? Are you into motorcycles? Do you look for accessories for your hobby? Do you collect stuff? You know, it's all that stuff that goes into our profiles, and some of that is known by our family members, but maybe some of it isn't. So anyway, very, very cool. Now, while the government is collecting on us, and while the commercial people are basically spending money to know who we are, there's some products out there that we need to pay attention to. Scientists are worried about the do-it-yourself brain stimulation. Have you seen some of these things that go on top of your head that measure what's going on with your brain? Well, there's some folks that are actually stimulating the brain with small electrical impulses. And scientists are really worried here. There's basically some speculation that studies are suggested that small doses of electricity can increase your memory, help you learn new tasks, make you better at math, turn you into a judo expert. But it also could help you to make ugly people seem more beautiful, or it can make you forget what your name was. Depending on where you're zapping, you could end up being, kind of dumb. So the scientists are worried about these people that are using these headsets and are applying electrical pulses to their brains and the damage that could be done. And if you think about it, it's probably true. You know, our brain is one big electric circuit, even though you don't really think of it that way. You got that mass up there, right? But there's lots of impulses going on back and forth. Electricity is, in order for me to move my hands back and forth like I'm doing right now, for those of you that are listening, I'm just basically sitting here moving my hands. You know, that was an electrical impulse that made that happen. It told the muscle to move, told my heart and my lungs provide oxygen to the muscle to make sure it could happen. You know, all that stuff that's going on, when we start messing with that, could end up being good things, but at the same time could be really, really weird results. Hey, want to switch gears here a little bit and go into some articles that caught my interest. There's a couple that are up on Geek News Central right now. Great one by KL that talks about the Sony NEX-F3 camera. Great review here. So definitely check it out. She had purchased this camera, and so she was lucky enough to put a review of it up on the website, and I appreciate KL for doing that. So if you're thinking about a camera and want to have a little better lens, the Sony NEX-F3 may be the one for you, and come in and read her review. Of course, Facebook also has added hashtags today, and wow, that took a while, right? To me, it's kind of like, a dollar late, a day late, dollar short. Facebook has launched this feature that will help users to quickly get a larger view of what's happening in the world or what topics people are talking about. And they're going to have a little bit of a tracking system and stuff where we can do that as well. How many of you, with the new Xbox is coming, but at E3, they basically announced a new Xbox 360 as well. And the folks over at iFixit got their hands on what they're calling the old Xbox 360, new/old Xbox 360, see if it did anything, if they changed anything inside. And basically, it's got the same guts, just a new case. And as a matter of fact, a case that's a little more modular and easy to upgrade. But overall, the new/old Xbox 360s, the guts inside, what's old is still new. So not a lot of update there. So if you're buying an Xbox 360 out of E3 because, quote unquote, it's a better machine, hold your ponies. It's really not. There's a few things that make it a little easier to manage and change hard drives and so forth, but that's it. So be well aware, okay, that it's not necessarily something that is going to give you more performance or something when you're using them. Anytime, and I'm really switching gears here, and we looked inside the box of an Xbox 360 in that last article, but how many of you, you see cell towers all over the place. How many of you, if you're a geek like me, you really want to see the electronics package that's being used to make those cell sites work. And the folks over at Extreme Tech, they got an inside look at a cell site, an LTE cell site operated by Sprint in San Francisco. And, basically it's, 19-inch racks on the roof, all mounted, environmentally sealed, and, just a lot of switches and wires and different things. And then, they basically look at the layout and the antennas and amplifiers. And really, it's, worth a lot of money, but at the same time, probably for most people, just a little bit boring. I think I'd have liked to have gotten a little deeper in to see all the interconnects and how the, how they bring the internet in and everything else that happens at those sites. Because they just showed just a little bit and they didn't show too much. But anyway, kind of a little bit of an insight for a look into an LTE site. Again, operated by Sprint in San Francisco. So the link will be up in the show notes. Of course, GNC show notes, gncshownotes.com. Of course, today's show is number 866, so you can find it at gncshownotes.com/866. I want to switch back here. Sly Fox in the chat room says, the funny thing is Microsoft did not say a word about the hardware at the press conference this year, whereas Sony did. And he goes, So, probably because there was nothing to say. They just put a new case. They put new lipstick on the pig is what they did. All right. There's been an announcement of an organic photo sensor that really is going to shatter CMOS imaging limits. And some of the stuff I read, I kind of understand because I worked in the RF world, and there's a very slight difference between RF, invisible light, and all that stuff. But what they've done is a newly developed organic CMOS sensor from Fuji and Panasonic goes basically in the other direction. It increases the sensor's saturation level while at the same time reducing noise. The result is a groundbreaking 88 decibels of signal to noise. That's incredible. That's an incredible delta. This is about 12 dB above the typical value for a conventional silicon sensor. Now, let me explain something when it comes to decibels in the RF range. So every 3 dB is half power. So I guess the best way to describe it is for every 3 dB of loss, you have less sensitivity. And there's a whole bunch of factors that go into it and where amplifiers and all this other stuff is. But to have a 12 dB increase into the signal-to-noise ratio, that's incredible difference. So what this really boils down to is a higher signal-to-noise means improving dynamic range. A 12 dB increases is expected to mean that the new sensor design is capable of gathering four times the light of a traditional design, or about two f-stops. That means that a single frame captured using this new sensor could contain essentially all the same information as a bracket of three images shot at -1, 0, and at +1 f-stop. Best of all, of course, the data would be captured in a single instant, making HDR quality images of action scenes a real reality here. And so noise is the thing that just always kills you. In the RF world, there's a noise floor that typically anything below cannot be necessarily detected or picked up. If the signal's down in that noise floor and that white noise, very, very hard to break that out. You can drive the noise floor down by squeezing the bandwidth or the especially depending on what your spectrum analyzer or something like that. You narrow the range, and it essentially allows you to get a little tighter look without going into really the full theory of it. But when you are reducing 12 dB of noise, it's just, man, it's huge. So this is being presented this week at VLSI in Kyoto. So we'll see what this means and where this is going to go and how soon it's going to be before we see this in cameras and video cameras and so forth. But this is big in the photog world and also in the video camera world as well. Switching into a little more science here, a new 19-mile-long International Linear Collider will investigate the Higgs boson, dark energy in multiple dimensions. This 31-kilometer, 19.2-mile is finally ready for construction, according to CERN. And the Linear Collider collaboration will initially augment the LHC's attempt to identify and characterize as the Higgs boson. I don't know, when is this going to be ready? When are they going to start? Looks like, wow. So construction is going to begin in 2015, but it's not expected to finish before 2026. The total cost of the build is estimated to be between $10 and $25 billion. So an expensive piece of hardware, obviously. A lot of speculation is if Apple's preparing to release an iPhone phablet. You know, Samsung is continues to go bigger, and I see folks walking with the big phones. But would you go with a bigger iPhone if they made it bigger? I want the screen real estate. I really do. And I want something that's going to be a phone. I don't want that Note. I don't want something like that, but I want something bigger. You know, I want to go to like that LG screen almost that I had on that phone, that Android phone. To be honest with you, if iPhone doesn't go to a bigger screen, my next phone will be a Droid. I'll make the switch. Love the bigger screen, because so many times now I don't pull the iPhone out. I pull the iPad out and use that, you know, but that means I have to carry two things. Who wants to carry two things? I want to carry one thing and do it on one screen. So we'll see where this goes. But, you know, we've been teased before that this could happen, and it hasn't. All right, those in the European Union, a new EU law mandates eCall in all new cars. Starting October 2015, all new cars in the European Union would have to be fitted with an eCall device. And eCall technology installed in car automobiles dials 112. This is Europe's single emergency number. When it detects a serious accident, it then sends information about the accident to rescue services, including the time of incident, the position of the crash vehicle, and the direction of travel. So they want to get this in all vehicles by 2015. I had to take a shot of the H2O here. All right, iOS 7 is said to let users zoom while recording video. This would be big. This would be a nice change. Some speculation. And I tell you, I know many of you are big iPhone fans. Did I say iTunes? Big iPhone fans. And, you know, I guess maybe I'm a little jaded, but I'm really having a hard time getting excited about iOS 7. I understand we're going to the flat design. There's a bunch of new features, a lot of new little nuances. It is a dramatic redesign. But, you know, with everything been revamped, including the icons, buttons, color schemes, and of course, the screen is being said to take on a 3D appearance. And we'll have a swipe feature at the bottom of the device for quick access to brightness, volume, and airplane mode, Bluetooth, etc. But the zoom for the camera seems to be probably one of the things I'm excited about the most, especially while doing it live. You know, that to me is going to be the best part. But, you know, I have a hard time at this point. And maybe I'm just getting a little jaded. I'm not that excited about the new version of iOS. I guess maybe the closer it gets, I will. But I really like the nice crispness of my icons currently, you know, and this whole flat design thing kind of really changes that. But I'd love to hear what you guys think about the new design and whether or not it's something that you're going to want to migrate immediately to. You know, blimps. Blimps have been used in a variety of different ways. Used as satellite communication or as communication relays. Of course, blimps fly across National Football League type stuff over baseball stadiums and so forth. But inside a decommissioned military hangar in Tustin, California, about 30 miles south of Los Angeles, sits what at first glance looks like the world's biggest Mylar balloon. The closer inspection reveals a skeleton and a carbon tubes clothed in a silver skin dubbed the Aerocraft. It's a Russian's shot at proving to the world that helium-filled airships, long ago eclipsed by planes, have a bright future in commercial cargo. And, you know, he's basically been able to figure out a way to regulate up and down. And that's a big problem with blimps, is there's always required a whole bunch of extra handlers, and when you take the load off, you had to have, you know, basically, but he's got a way to change the pressurization inside his blimp, and but they want to be able to turn blimps into cargo vessels capable of transporting loads as big as 250 tons. That's a huge load, and up to 100 miles per hour. So time will tell whether or not they do this, but they're making a shot at it. So far, the U.S. Department of Defense has committed $60 million toward development of the Arrow's craft. That money runs out in August, leaving the company to seek private investment. So we'll see where this goes, if they are able to make this happen. But, you know, with the... It'd be kind of a nice economic way to move stuff too. Wouldn't be burning as much fossil fuels and so forth. All right. And when I was still active duty in the Navy, of course, I've been retired now 5+ years. When we would send a naval message, everything, and it always cracked me up, everything would be in caps. Yes, the message, everything would be listed in capital letters. So the U.S. Navy has just ended its dependence on capitalized communications. And it's dropping the requirement that its official communications be issued in capital letters. So a message went out to all commands, 30 April, notifying that signals would soon be able to use a mixture of lower and uppercase. Woohoo! And the former policy was a legacy of the fact that teletype machines adopted in the 19th century did not have lowercase letters. I guess they're going to email. Imagine that. So they're going to be... sending messages delivered and shared on, looks like wikis, blogs, etc. So this is kind of an interesting move that Navy's making a big change here. And it'll allow signals to be delivered by email, which the Navy says will save about $15 million a year. And they say it's going to take until 2015 to ensure all the Navy systems were able to cope with mixed text, and until 2000 something would have to convert messages to uppercase where necessary to allow the legacy equipment to process them. It's kind of weird how you would think that something as simple as changing from a capital letter to lowercase would make that big of a difference, but I guess it does for some of those older systems. Over in Ars, a great article talking about, does the Big Bang necessarily mean we're part of a multiverse? You know, we've always wondered, the question that you always hear people ask when we talk about the universe is expanding, we say it's expanding into what? And there was just recently a conference that's talking about inflation and the speculation that we need inflation to make the Big Bang work, and that produces other universes. So kind of an interesting but my thing is, okay, if we're part of a ongoing series of Big Bangs, what happens when something bangs next to us and absorbs or blows us out? That's the question I have, but I don't think we'll see it coming. But scientists are trying to figure this out, and you know what's beyond, and I don't think they'll ever really figure it out. How could they? You know, it's too infinite of a problem. NASA's offering money to startups that can solve space travel problems. NASA has announced plans to fund startups that help the organization's quest develop new technology for healthcare and medical needs both in space and on Earth, according to this announcement Tuesday from the National Space Biomedical Research Institute. So they're going to be spending money investing in companies in amounts from $10,000 to $200,000. And the companies also have to find a second source to match the funding. And they're going to try to get these winners announced by August 12th. So applications are due July 22nd. So if you've got a biomedical company that's looking for some money, there you go. But you got to have a partner in crime, I guess is the better word. The folks at Kaspersky Labs is shifting its anti-malware code from its enterprise business down to its consumer security software, in an effort to cut down on the effectiveness of zero-day attacks. They say this is the first time they've ever done it. Dennis Nazarov, head of anti-malware research at Kaspersky Lab USA, told the Register, usually we develop things on the consumer side and then shift them up. But in this case, we developed Zeta on the server side for enterprise to block advanced attacks and brought it back down to PCs. So these guys seem to be doing a lot of moving and shaking, considering that I think Symantec today laid off 1,700 people or something like that. So the space is changing a lot. In New York City, a bill regulating 3D printed guns was announced in New York City. This bill to regulate 3D printing guns was introduced by Council Member Louis Fidler, a Democrat in Brooklyn. The bill would amend the New York Administrative Code to make it illegal to use a 3D printer to create any part of a firearm unless the person is a licensed gunsmith. A gunsmith using a 3D printer to print any part of a gun would be required to notify the NYPD and register it within 72 hours. And it goes into a whole bunch of other stuff. So another bill to go out there and try to impede people's rights to bear arms, obviously, there. But interesting move on the 3D printed guns. All right, Boxy confirms it's looking for more funding or a possible sale. Personally, I think they're in trouble. You know, they've raised about $30 million over three rounds in the past. And but basically, the company may be looking for an exit by trying to sell itself to a cable or telco provider. Boxy's new cloud DVR product could help a TV provider potentially replace their legacy set-top boxes with newer technology. So we'll see where this leads. But Boxy is either wants money or potentially a buyout. So we'll see where this goes. Hey, the Chinese today, they docked at their nation's space station. A Chinese space capsule carrying a crew of three docked with the nation's orbiting space module today, 2 days after launch. State media reports that Ni Haoxing, Zhang Zhouang, and Wang Yaping, and I apologize, I cannot pronounce those names, the second Chinese female astronauts to fly in space, docked and basically are in their module, and they're smiling and waving in their little picture. So I think I should look at this video and make sure they're not standing while they're waving. Make sure they're actually floating. As you never know about the Chinese, if they've actually made that happen or if they are, how should we say it, virtual TV. Astronauts must deal with perchlorate, on the red planet. The pervading carpet of perchlorate, chemicals found on Mars, may boost the chances that microbial life exists, but it makes it very difficult for business to be done on Mars if we ever go there. And so much, in fact, that it would be very, very dangerous. So they're talking about ways to mitigate it and how to suit up and how to keep dust out of the living quarters and so forth. But kind of an interesting article, and I have the link up in the show notes. But anyway, pretty cool stuff on the space news front. World largest solar sail to launch in November 2014, a huge solar sail designed to demonstrate the viability and value of a propellant-free propulsion is slated to blast in space in November 2014. NASA's Sun Jammer spacecraft, whose 13,000-square-foot sail will allow it to cruise through the heavens like a boat through the ocean. And it's going to go up on a SpaceX craft. So we'll see where this leads. But we will tell if they're successful in 2014. All right, article over on GigaOm, talking about how Big Cable uses its muscles to prevent online competition. And, of course, we know that Apple has had a long-rumored Apple TV, and it's yet to materialize, and we feel it's largely because they haven't been able to sign the content. But there's a good report that talks about how Time Warner and other groups have been using its negotiating muscle to keep TV networks from licensing content to Apple and others, and how they've really put the screws to the content providers and also kept companies like Apple and Google basically on the sidelines. So I have a link up in the show notes for you to review that. Hey, another article over on Geek News Central. Rovio teases us with a new Angry Birds. It's called Go Game. And really, Rovio really can't do any wrong these days. The Finnish game maker is behind the whole Angry Bird franchise. And after recently launching Angry Birds Friends for Android, a game that was previously on Facebook only, the game presents users with several new levels each week. And so anyway, this is pretty cool. Those birds and piggies are getting ready for their most thrilling action-packed game yet. And all your favorite characters are returning for a brand new title that will bring you closer to Piggy Island than ever before. It's Angry Birds, but not as you know it. And boy, it can be addicting. And it's often, I see it often being played on airplanes. In between long hauls, people are bored. They're playing Angry Birds. There's a Google Plus update rolling out with new notifications and other tweaks. I noticed today I got a notification on Google Talk. They were trying to basically, I had a couple of chat sessions going, and it says, hey, you can use this new system. And I basically said, okay, go ahead and enable it. And it basically sets my Gmail, and I've got all the little extra chat windows off the side. Pretty little slick way they've done that. And you're going to see some of this stuff roll into Google Plus as well. So very cool stuff that they're doing there and making it much, much more integrated. You know, I haven't been to Facebook very much in the last month or so. Really weaned myself on being Facebook. I'm just not over there a lot. You guys find yourself being weaned from Facebook? You know, the thumb drive, even when I was active duty, was banned. So they're saying that this individual that has yet to be charged but has admitted to being the source of the leaked documents said he smuggled documents from NSA on a thumb drive. And, of course, these have been banned forever, but investigators know how many documents that he downloaded from the NSA network and what server he took them from. Officials have not indicated how many documents Snowden swiped, but The Guardian reported this week that Snowden left Hawaii with 4 laptops that enabled him to gain access to some of the U.S. government's most highly 4 laptops. Did he steal 4 laptops? So this is crazy, but we know that thumb drives have been banned for a long time. But apparently, as a system administrator, he had a little more privileges than others did, and he could carry a thumb drive. Why don't they put stuff on CDs? You know, I don't understand why they cannot completely ban them. It might eliminate some of this stuff. But anyway, that's information on that. Of course, no further word on what's going to happen to this individual or even where he's at right now. Hey, a lawsuit was filed to prove happy birthday is in the public domain. Public domain, and domains Warner pay back millions of license fees. Happy Birthday remains the most profitable song ever. Every year, it is a song that earns the highest royalty rate sent to Warner/Chapel Music, which makes millions per year from licensing the song. We all know that song should be in the public domain, and they're being sued to try to get that happen. So we'll see where this leads. But, you know, it's Happy Birthday's been around 120 years. How could it still be enforceable, licensed? I just don't get it. If you are a sysadmin on Linux machines, Debian says, remove unofficial DebianMultimedia.org repository from your source. That domain has changed hands. They don't know who owns it. And it you're in risk of having some sources downloaded that in your machine that they really don't have any guarantee are going to be, how should we say it, not infected. So be aware of that. If you have any Debian machines and you're a system admin on those, remove Debian-multimedia.org as a repository from your sources, okay? I got a couple articles I'm just going to link up for you. Some of the smaller solo changes in iOS 7. Got an article for you about Swedes saying no to Google Apps for government use, which is kind of an interesting move. And I've got, of course, the announcement that Google goes its own WAS with the purchase of WAS. So congratulations to WAS getting picked up. I know we got an email from one of our big fans out of Israel talking about that. So let me go ahead here and load all the emails from for the show. And these are going to take just a little bit to get through because, boy, oh, boy, they're a little bit intense. Now, first and foremost, the opinions that are in these emails are of the writer, okay? And I may agree or disagree with some of these points, but I want to go through these here and read these to you, okay? So I'm going to keep the water close because some of them are kind of long. You guys got very passionate about this. First one's probably the shortest one. I got this from Henry. He says, hey, aloha, Todd. Thank you for your recent comments about classified information leaks. Thank you for your service to this country. He said, my dad was retired U.S. Navy. My brother is retired U.S. Air Force, and I'm a former civil employee of the U.S. Army. He goes on to say, none of us would ever release such information. We can't even tell each other some of what we did. Thanks for an outstanding podcast, Henry in Livonia, Michigan. Got an email from Ken. He says, Dear Geek, I think Edward Snowden is a hero. So please look up the oath you took in the military. It says you'll support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. This trumps obeying the president when he tramples on the Constitution. Our government and president are tearing the Constitution to shreds. It's exactly this behavior that the writers of the Constitution were trying to protect us from. All those people that knew about PRISM and said nothing are not living up to the oath that they took. Ken, you know, here's the skinny, though. You know, when you swear the oath that you will obey the president of the United States, because you have to go in and read that entire oath. You took a portion of it there, and gave that to me. But if we look at the entire oath of office or the affirmation that you make when you swear in, you also agree to obey orders. And when you sign agreements that are security agreements, you are bound not only by your office, but you're also bound by that agreement. You have, as an individual, the right to not sign that and not take the burdens that go along with the not revealing classified information. It is not the 99% of the people that are the ones working in the trenches are not the ones that make the decision on the classification level of a program. That's usually decided at a very high level. All that information is purportedly compartmentalized. The majority, 99.99% of the people probably in the government that hold a clearance probably had no knowledge whatsoever of this particular program. It was probably a very limited number of folks that had access to it, I would assume. That's my assumption. And those people, again, by law, were required to sign a security agreement that said, I will basically keep what I learn to my person, and whether I like it or not. Now, here's the situation you have to think about. As a people, we elect our representatives through an open election. We have a democratic society where our president, our representatives, our senators, the people that are our governors, people that run in our local offices and so forth, are elected by the people. They are not, I say this again, they are not in there as dictators. They're not kings. They're not anointed. They are elected. Thus, those elected officials that the majority of Americans voted into office then appoint their staffs, their cabinets, their officials that are going to lead each of those departments through Treasury, through Department of Defense, all the way down. And those folks are the top of the food chain. It is those people that we have elected and the people that they have assigned that are at the very top of some of this decision making on what happens. So I think when you really bear down and when you get into the nitty gritty and when you have the guy that's going there and he is a career civil servant or he is an analyst or whatever his job may be, when he took the job, he may not have known that he was going to be working in that program, per se. When he was read into that program, he signed an agreement saying, I will not divulge. And that is the law. Now, if he's a hero, he can be a hero to those that feel he's going to pay the price for being a hero. I personally, again, think that, he should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, irregardless of what he has done. And my opinion of that, he took a job knowing that he was going to be given access to information, and that his job, whether irregardless of his politics and irregardless of his personal feelings, he had to uphold the law. And then we, as a citizen of this country, we have to understand that who we elect are the ones that set policy. If we don't like how policy is going and how things are being done in the government, we go and we have people that we want to be representing us and speaking for us in the Senate and House. We have those folks go there and speak for us. That's how you change things. It's, you know, ultimately from the top down, from the president on down, you know, as you get into the, you know, you get to a certain point and it stops being political, right? You get to a point where there's the political point, and there's thousands of political appointees after a president is assigned to an office, including judges and everything else that goes on. From that layer down, most of those people are career civil servants. But policy is set on high. And laws are enacted. The Patriot Act was enacted by people in Congress. And so I think we have to go back then. And if we want things to change, we have to change the politicians that are in office that are making these things happen. And I'm talking both sides of the party. You know, that's what it will take. I understand that what you feel, Ken. I appreciate your opinion. I really, really do. But let's also understand that when a military person swears an oath to support and defend the Constitution, I agree with that. But we also have to take the orders of those above us. You know, that's a part of that as well. You can trump the president? Sure, that is your choice as a citizen. But you will pay a price for doing so within the confines of the law. So, you know, that I guess, you know, that it's a hard deal to rationalize. But that's where it's at. But Ken, thanks for being a listener. And I appreciate your comments. Got an email from Jack. He said, Todd, I just finished listening to show 865 where he wanted discussion of the privacy security issues facing our nation. I, like you, have served in the military and am well aware of the security restrictions and consequences. I have always given the president of either party a lot of latitude when it comes to decisions they make that I don't think are right. The president's information I don't to make those decisions. You can see this by differences in the statements and speeches by candidate Obama and President Obama. Look at how he rallied against the Bush in foreign policy, war, and prisoner handling as a candidate. But when he became president, very few of those policies have changed in 5 years. At the close of the show, you read a letter that had a lot of very valid points. One in particular was about how our founding fathers stood up against the most powerful government in the world at the time, and as a result, had a health distrust of a powerful government. America has become the most powerful government. It all comes down to trust. Do you trust your government? Both the people running it, elected officials, and the people in the bureaucracy. Actions of the government are raising trust issues with the American people. One, the Patriot Act passed by our elected officials. One political side vehemently hated it when they couldn't blame the president they hated, but no objection when their party owns the White House and Congress. This would be a trust issue at work. So I should say, A, one political side vehemently hated it when they could blame the president they hated. B, but no objection when their party owns the White House and Congress. I, this would be a trust issue work. C, candidate Obama was vehemently against it, but President Obama expanded it. I didn't like it until I controlled it. That was what the candidate, now president, did. Number two, the Justice Department's breaking the law at will. A, selling guns to Mexican drug lords and gang members, clearly breaking the law with no regards to it. B, claiming the news reporter is a criminal co-conspirator in order to get a court order to read his mail and tap his phones, a.k.a. they later admitted they knew he wasn't. C, wiretapping 20 phone lines of a news organization. I, they didn't follow law or even their own guidelines. D, was this politically motivated? E, in any case, how do you trust a Justice Department that just doesn't follow the law? Number three, Benghazi. The death of an American ambassador is calling for more needed security, which looks somebody lapse in judgment or political decision. B, the cover story that turns out is made up a lie by the administration. Number four, IRS targeting political opponents of the administration. A, was this an action by a bureaucrat or a politician? Either case is ominous. Five, PRISM, collecting internet data that we trust with our internet service providers. Six, collecting phone metadata, which we all trust with our phone companies. Seven, FISA, a law passed by our elected officials. And number eight, secret subpoenas that you can't even admit to their existence, so there's no way to object or to fight. All of this from an administration that promised to be the most open and transparent in history, but is in fact the most secretive and closed to the American people. How many Americans are losing trust in the bureaucracy with the low-level IRS partisan actions, our administration, or both? Mr. Snowden, a paid professional security analyst, looked at this and other classified information, seems to come to the conclusion that this government cannot be trusted. The problem I have with his actions is that he could not trust one of our 535 members of Congress, the ones we elected to oversee these secret laws. There are members of Congress that represent every view of the political spectrum and could have looked at this and made it public if he or she thought were a proper way to proceed, which is the way this republic is designed to work. Whatever the reason, if he felt that strongly about it, he should be willing to pay the price. We have men and women serving in this country that believe strongly enough in this country to pay the ultimate price for their beliefs. A few years in jail is a much smaller price to pay for one's belief. Mr. Snowden doesn't seem to believe strongly enough in his actions and convictions stand and take the consequences for his action. This is a long way around agreeing with you, but with some reservations. The trouble is I don't have enough information to know, but there does seem to be a lot of smoke around the current events. Jack Ellis, retired. Jack, you're right. You know, and it's tough because, you know, what we really don't know is what we don't know. And I've often said, without detail, most people are pretty oblivious to the real world. They're pretty oblivious to things that are going on. They're pretty oblivious and are not willing to understand the truth and something's going on. Long story short, there's a lot of information that is out there that the general public probably could not handle, to be honest with you. And everyone has a reason and has an opinion, and that's what we're all about here. So thanks, Jack, for sending that in. I appreciate it. Got an email from Paul. He said, hey, Todd, I just listened to your last podcast, and this particular, the part about the whole Big Brother thing that's going off over in America. Now, Paul is, he says, I felt you might like to see the subject from a non-American viewpoint. Well, I agree with you. The full weight of the law should be applied to the guilty party. We differ in response. Only if the reason for him to have done so, threat/terrorism related and not the real whistleblowers, then you can bang them up for a long time. Personally, I have no problem with the fact that my government, I agree it's not a political issue, by the way, is keeping an eye on me because I know that I'm doing absolutely nothing wrong and therefore will pass well under their radar. Now, if I were going to around the internet looking for red flag items, then I expect to be caught, which is why I agree with you that bad guys now have become wise and just use far more basic ways to communicate, thereby circumventing PRISM completely. I trust the big companies like Google, they center with my information. It's not like they're going to blackmail you with it. Any information held about you should remain private. Granted, they're going to be the odd person having a look. Unless it reviews you to be some kind of twisted, sick, dangerous types, then act on it. Regarding search and seizure, stop and search here, I think they are justified because over here they tend to only target suspicious or known people. Overall, whistleblowers are a good thing in my opinion. Without them, we the public would not be able to see the good and the bad in life or right wrongs. I'll get out my soapbox now. Hope you can see where I'm coming from, Paul. P.S. Big companies legally lie about their taxes over here, too. Big names paying no tax via bending the system. I'd like to see as a bit of honesty from business for change. Is that much too much to ask? I don't know if it does or doesn't. Paul, thanks for your non-American view. I do appreciate it. Got an email from Near. He said, hey, Todd, check out Google Maps and Waze Outsmarting. So thanks very much for that on the $1.1 billion buy. Let's see here. Did I get everybody? I did. There's a lot of opinions. And, here's my point. You guys know, been retired 5 years. I'll take whatever I learned in my time in the Navy to my grave. It is the agreement that I made with the government. And that's the way it's going to be. And if they ever release me of that and declassify anything, which I probably will never know anyway, maybe in 50 years I'll be able to talk about it. But I doubt it. The way this stuff is today, I'd be too scared to, But I guess having served, it just shocks me to my core that someone would not, okay, whether you like the information or not, you made an agreement. I guess that's what I can't get over, and I can only hope, and I think this we'll wrap this up, and I'm sure maybe we'll have some follow-on comments later, but I can only hope that the people that are working in those jobs, that are the folks that are working in those programs, are true patriots, and I hope that they respect the Constitution as much as possible. We've already jumped the shark. Is the genie going to be able to be put back in the bottle? Only time will tell, and it's going to come through you going to vote and deciding who's going to be elected and who can be trusted to make changes that you feel fit your point of view. So anyway, we've gotten way deep into this stuff, and I'm sure irritated some of you along the process. I'm sure there's a lot we would all like to know, but the simple fact is that we probably will never know, or if we do, we'll know much later. And I can only hope that whatever they have done and whatever they have used and however they have done it keeps people like you and I safe and allowed to sleep soundly at night. And I'm not saying that is a trade-off that is justified, but it being that we've already jumped the shark, let's just hope that's what they're able to do with that information, whatever it may be. Again, as I told you guys in the last show, when I came across this stuff, my kind of internal instincts turned on, and I didn't review the material per se beyond basically what I saw on the first page of a news story. Didn't go any deeper than that at all. So I think we keep hearing more in the news. And again, I'm not privy to anything. It's just one of those things that will just, it is what it is. And then the news will report what they're going to report. If you have concerns, pick up your phone, call your congressperson and your representative and tell them exactly how you feel about this. And that's the best way to get some action, and tell them if they don't respond to how you feel, then, take your vote somewhere else in the next election, and or get behind a candidate that you can support to support your values. And in my opinion, most of politicians lie through their doggone teeth anyway. I don't know if you can trust any of them, to be honest with you. But that's just the way it is. And I guess it's an imperfect system, but it seems to work pretty good for us up to this point. It's a lot better than some of the craziness that's going on where we're, you see what's going on in Turkey and some of the other places. It's just absolute insanity. All right, folks. Hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Hope we haven't gotten too deep. I hope I have not irritated your sensibilities. I am what I am. I am who I am. And opinions be damned. I hope you all will be here. And I want to hear from you guys. Give me feedback, That's what this show is all about, is a back and forth discussion. It can be a healthy debate on both sides of the fence. And you guys have been here for a long time. You guys know what I talk about. You guys know I'm concerned about privacy. You guys know I'm concerned about infringement of our rights. I truly believe in the Constitution. Don't get me wrong, but we have these laws in place right now that has allowed the government to do what they're doing. And until those laws are changed, that is the way it is. And it's whether you like it or not. That's kind of where we're at. So, you know, does that justify how you feel? Absolutely not. You know, if you feel this is completely wrong and you're willing to, you want to put the genie back in the bottle, get on the phone and whatever your opinion is. But I will say again, for the record, I never, ever condone anyone that has been given a position of trust, to violate that trust in any way. I think that is, irregardless of your politics, irregardless of how you feel, it's something that, if you can't handle that, take another job somewhere else, do something else. And maybe that's, but that's just the way I feel on this. I really do. All right, guys, ladies, thanks for being here. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. Tweet me at Geek News. And I hope you're still here next show. We'll see you next time. We'll lighten up a little bit. Take care. Aloha.